And the Sadducees came to him, that is Jesus, who say that there is no resurrection. And they ask him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife, but leaves no child, the man must take the wife and raise up children for his brother. And there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and when he died, left no children. And the second took her and died, leaving no children. And the third likewise. And the seven left no children. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, who will she be? For the seven had her as a wife." Jesus said to them, "Is this not why you are wrong, that you know neither the Scripture nor..." By the way, it's Scriptures, I'm sorry. "Nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' He is not the God of the dead, but of the living." We said last week that next up, if you think of this as a baseball game, next up would be the Sadducees. They were standing there at this, you know, in the batter's box, and the Herodians and the Pharisees, you know, came to bat against Jesus last week, and they didn't do too well. Next up is the Sadducees, and standing over there in, you know, getting ready himself, were some scribes. But this week, the Sadducees, and I just will, they put forth this ridiculous argument about the seven brothers. There's a joke that goes with that, I'm going to tell you, and you could just forgive me. Why Jewish men die before their wives? It's because they want to. I don't know who this woman was, but there was a bunch of them that just said, that's the joke. So forgive me. But it's a ridiculous statement. It's a ridiculous argument. And it's a... they are pulling Jesus into a theological controversy. And Jesus deals with it. You know, a lot of times Jesus wouldn't mess with his enemies. He would just refuse to talk to them. And like he did before, if you tell me by what authority, you know, John did these things, then I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. And they didn't want to answer that, and that was that. And he really didn't enter into the conversation so much with them, except to say he wasn't going to talk to them much. But here he does. And I think it's an enlightening exchange here. Christ deals with it. And just from the beginning, we'll just lay this right out and know where we're going. Everybody knows where we're going. The answer here is in the Scriptures and in the power of God, the knowledge of the power of God. And here are these Sadducees, and Mark's careful to describe who they were. This is the only mention of the Sadducees in the Gospel of Mark. And he's careful to tell the reader of the passage who these fellows were. And I think quite possibly, you remember my contention, is that the book of Mark is basically the remembrance of Mark, of Peter's preaching in Rome. Y'all remember that? And most likely, those folks in Rome don't know what a Sadducee is. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some obscure place in the world where you can go find someone that doesn't have the internet or something, and you mention to them Donald Trump and maybe show a picture of him. They're going to look at you with looks like, yeah, What is that? And I'm not ridiculing Donald Trump at all. They're just not going to know. And here are some people in Rome, most likely at Peter, that heard Peter preach, and Mark heard Peter preach, and he's writing these things down to us. And so Mark tells us who these Sadducees are. But isn't it nice that they're not any more Sadducees? Here's this theological group. And they say there's no resurrection. And Jesus answers their question here. But I just want to start out. In every age, there are those who are the enemies of the truth. Every age, it's just always the same. If the Lord tarries another 1,000 years, there's going to be a whole list of batters that come before him. He'll go all 9 innings, won't he? And each one, as they deal with him, they deal with Jesus. Jesus will deal with them. And many and most times, we all but forget them. No one would care who a Sadducee was if it wasn't for the Gospels. Isn't that the truth? Now, back at the turn of the last century, 1800s, there was a big push among intellectual people and religious, not merely religious people, kind of like today. I would call them the trying to say something nice here because I know this is being recorded. It's amazing how people don't believe in God at all. They'll argue with about Christianity, but when you go off to Tibet, they'll want you to bring back some Tibetan prayer flags. They'll accept Buddhism and any kind of stuff. But you just bring up Christianity, no. Well, we're beyond that. But when you go to that place where the Dalai Lama was reared up, bring back some Tibetan prayer flags. Why is that? But the point is, there's always these groups that reject things of God, and they come decade after decade, and they'll continue to come. But remember the days when people were doing seances? It was called spiritualism. It was very, very popular in England at one point. I mean, it was a... People did it. This was something that, it's like going to California now. You know, a bunch of oddballs. But they would believe in seances and all this stuff and at the same time reject Christianity. Now, is that not a mystery? Where are they now, those spiritualists? We laugh at them now. We go to movies and you see everybody around with a Ouija board, you know, and they're all holding hands and calling. We all go, isn't that funny? But in their day, it was very popular. But where those people stood against Christianity in their day, those spiritualists were God's, the enemies of God's people. The evangelicals had to contend with that. Where are they now, I ask you? When was the last time you had a notice in the paper, come to so-and-so, he's a spiritualist, and he'll help you to talk to your great-great-grandfather? When was the last time you read that? In our paper. The turn of the century, it was common. They're gone now. Where are the Philistines? Where are they, Steve? They're not around. They're gone. Where's the Babylonian Empire? They're gone. The enemies have gone in every age. And the only reason, I'm telling you right now, that we know anything or even care about Sadducees is the text of the Bible itself. And here Christ deals with them, and he deals with them well. But in the end, it'll all be apparent in the long batting order of the devil's team. They'll all be dealt with. Christ will pitch a no-hitter. Pardon me, just keeping on with the analogy. He will deal with them down to the last. Here in his own life, in those 3 short years that he lived, he dealt with them. And then in the life of the church, he will deal with them in us. I don't know why. You'll have to maybe think. I don't know. You don't think about it. But I don't know why it seemed like the Lord is always brings kind of odd people into Lehabeth in my life who are viciously anti-Christian. Isn't that right, honey? I don't know why that happens to us. I mean, since early on, it's happened. I mean, in our marriage, Lehabeth and I, they've come into our life, come and go. But this is their beginning, often their beginning argument, ridicule. They brought this question up to Jesus, and it's a ridiculous question. They say, "Teacher, and who we want to know in heaven, you know, if whose wife is that woman going to be?" It's a silly question. They know it's silly. They're ridiculing the truth. What's the best way to deal with someone? Is just laugh at them. Mark Twain, he was a specialist at it. I don't want to go to heaven hanging around with a rope, you know, a harp all this for 100,000 years, you know. Whew, I don't want to go there. If he didn't repent, then he's not there. But it's ridicule. Ridicule against Christianity is a strong device, and it'll hurt your feelings. It didn't hurt Jesus' feelings. He dealt with them. So they put forward this ridiculous question. Next week, just to let you know, the scribes come and they talk to Jesus about what's the greatest commandment? The scribes had identified 613 commandments in the Old Testament. And they come to Jesus, which is the most important? Boy, I know they were just thinking, we got him with this one. Bring the batters on. Okay. So they ridicule Jesus. And they always will. But in the end, and it will be apparent in the last days, there'll be no stand. There'll be a final batter that comes. And they'll all go down. It blessed me this last week, and for several reasons it blessed me, that the body of Billy Graham lay in Lion State. It lay. It lay in state. Thank you. I get all that mixed up. In our capital. Now that ought to bless you. I'm just going to ask anybody that'll tell you, anybody can say the answer to this. Did you ever hear Billy Graham ridiculed in his own life and made fun of? I did. Just, you know, country hick Baptist, you know, from the Carolinas. Talked funny. Having these meetings in Los Angeles in a tent. He's just joining the rest of the bozos, you know, preaching in a tent. People got saved, by the way, in Los Angeles in tents under Billy Graham's ministry. But he was ridiculed in this life. They made fun of him because he talked to presidents and stuff. People made fun of him. It blesses me that his body lay in state in Washington, D.C., in our Capitol building. It blesses me because in the end, this godly man won out because he was a godly man. And it also blesses me for our country. You know, you look around, is there any hope for us? We can just say, Lord, remember. remember that body. Someone did that. I don't know. Have anybody heard, read the news on who was behind that and how it got to be? However it got to be, someone stepped up. There was a Joseph of Arimathea that stepped up to get that to happen. And it's shed some light on our country yet that maybe God has something for us. Okay. So here's some fellas that come against Jesus and they make up this ridiculous story. And Jesus is wiser than all of his enemies. That's just a little Old Testament for you. And in verse 24, Jesus gives his basic answer to their specific question. But he goes beyond it. But in verse 24, he gives his basic answer to them. Jesus says, "Is this not why you are wrong, that you need neither know the Scriptures nor the power of God?" How many times has these people that argue against God, and they're arguing against a straw man. They will quote the Bible, the tiny little bit of it they know, and ridicule the Bible. And they are about as ignorant as the Bible is a wooden post. "Oh, I've read that stuff. I've read the Bible once." And Jesus says to those Pharisees, the Sadducees, "You don't know the Scriptures," plural. And he's not saying you don't understand that text. You don't understand any of it. You're just, men argue against Christianity. If Mark Twain would just read the Gospels long enough and open-minded enough and seen the beauty of Jesus. He didn't know the Scriptures. He knew a straw man view of Christianity. He knew a caricature. I can't say that very well. Caricature. Thank you. Steve has a musical ear and a nimble tongue. And that's what most people know of the Scripture. The Sadducees saw a caricature of the truth of the resurrection. They ridiculed it. It was so silly to them. And Jesus said, "This is why you were wrong. You do not know the Scriptures." And the more the Scripture is out there, it's a dual sword. The more men are judged if they don't submit to it. But also, when the Scripture does enter into our society, it does give life. Men are saved. There are men that have been saved that have been virulently anti-Christian, and they're just turned. Some of the people that have come into my life, in Liebeth's life, that were virulently anti-Christian, I always thought in my heart that they're nothing before God. God will save them. Preacher and I were talking about the Jewish man Edersheim before we came in here. He was not a Christian. And here the Jewish people have been reared to not believe in Christ. But God got him. And so the teaching of the Scripture is important. It's important for our children. It's important for ourselves to be just the Word of God. And then the other thing is that they do not know the power of God. You know, if you accept the power of God or you know something of the power of God, some of these questions just fall off. You no longer And what Jesus basically answers here is that if you knew the power of God, then the resurrection's not going to be hard for you. So he says, is this not the reason you were deluded? Or is this not the reason you err? Or you get off on the wrong track? Is this not the reason that you... wander? Poor wandering soul. It's not in the Bible. But these poor souls that wander through life, Jesus says to these Sadducees, is this not the reason you wander and err and are deluded and blind? You don't know the Scripture or the power of God. Now, when he argues here, before we go farther, he continues with this in verse 25. He says, for when they rise from the dead, when men rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. There is a life coming that is a considerably different, this is an understatement, considerably different than this one. How about that? That's an understatement. And when you try to argue from what we know here, it gets to be very difficult. And there's all kinds of absurdities, like their absurdity here. But life is coming where marriage and giving in marriage and reproductive and rearing up heirs to, you know, or an heir has been superseded. Did you know God is going to get rid of food and the stomach? That's in Corinthians. God will do away with them both. And then you say, well, what about the marriage supper of the Lamb? Oh. You know, this is the same mentality of the Sadducees. You see all these problems. And God is trying to speak to us of things that are beyond us. And marriage is, I want you to know, pardon me, honey, you can leave the room. But if this would embarrass her, I love being with Leah Beth. I mean, it's the best thing that ever happened to me that somehow along we met up with each other. But I'm telling you, in heaven, I'm going to know her then. But things will have changed. Fundamentally changed. And so Jesus tells them that. And it's, so your silly little question is just that. And if you knew the Scripture and the power of God, you wouldn't be asking me this. So next time someone comes at you with some contradiction to the truth of God as it is, just be understanding of them. They're ignoramuses that have never experienced God in their life. They stand outside of the experience of God that you're well acquainted with. And you just look at them like, I don't know how lost people get along, to be honest with you. I so depend on God, you know, just every day. I don't think how I can get through. God, how am I going to get through? And here these people get through a whole long life without God. How do they do that? What a misery. So nevertheless, next time you have to endure the contradiction of sinners, realize they're just so ignorant. Jesus says, this is why you wander through life. This is why you err. This is why you are deceived. Did you know when we are both actively self-deceiving, we deceive ourselves, and the devil deceives us too? Such a danger of being deceived. Okay, so here's the answer. After he tells them about this new age coming, that will, can you imagine? He's telling the Sadducees, it says they don't believe in the resurrection. In another place, it says they don't believe in angels. And what does Jesus say? When the resurrection, we're going to be like angels. That probably just irritated him that he brought that up. But he did. He's saying to them, life is coming that's going to be so different from what it is now that we will be have a life that is the physical boundaries of this age and marriage and all these things we'll look back on them as very primitive. Jesus just appears in a room after the resurrection, his resurrection, his bodily resurrection. Kaboom, there he is, suddenly, in a locked room. You all try that. Age is coming, so different, so different. And so he, after saying this, he goes to another argument. As for the dead rising, see, that's verse 25. Let's see here. Verse 25, it says, when they rise from the dead, they're like angels. And then verse 26, and for the dead who are being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses? And it's presumed that they have. But he does quote Moses here. Jesus grants them a little favor because the Sadducees did not believe in any other book of the Old Testament except the first five books. So he argues from that. And so he says, have you not read in the book of Moses in the passage about the bush? I think that's pretty good. How God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God argues with these men from the nature of God Himself. Moses, his day at the bush, Moses said to, God said to Moses, I am, the God whose name is very I am. I am these three men's God. Present tense. And they go, oh. They didn't know how to answer it. And he argues from this. If these men are somehow alive to God in the time of Moses, is not God faithful to keep them and bless them and in the great day in the resurrection raise them up to a new world and a new age with new bodies? Faithfulness. He's arguing from the faithfulness of God. Did you know God's going to be faithful to you all the way through? Preacher didn't say this. I'm putting words in his mouth. He said he's getting old and his body's a wreck. He didn't use that expression. But you can tell he senses that something's wrong. Isn't that right, preacher? Something's wrong. But I'm telling you, God is going to get him through. And on the great day, he will walk through walls, if there happens to be a wall. And he'll see Mrs. Dotson, and he'll have there'll be a new relationship with her that'll be so funnily altered and glorious. The primitive nature of what went before will mean nothing. It's wonderful. It's coming. No one's arguing over this. Listen, it's so silly. They said, are they going to argue over whose wife this woman was? The seven brothers? Jesus was sweet not to make fun of them. But they are ridiculing Jesus with this. But there's something coming. God is a God of men. And if He's a God of men, He's faithful to them. In the time of Moses, I am. And at the end of the age, He'll be the God who is I am. And He'll have been faithful to Moses all down, pardon me, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and all the rest of the saints. And on the last day, they will rise. This is His argument. Faithfulness then, faithfulness now, and faithfulness forever. That's the argument of Jesus in this place. Look at God, and there's your answer. It would be absurd to say the God who identified Himself, I am that I am, as the God of men that have no existence. If these men have disappeared from the scene, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the thought is absurd from the text that Jesus is quoting the Sadducees. The thought is absurd. And they stand there and they listen and they go, oh. Now, in the immediate aftermath of Jesus dealing with the Sadducees, the Sadducean party did not disappear. They continued. But ultimately, they're gone. All voices that speak against God will be silenced. Every voice. Next up, the scribes. Make a list. And I didn't bother to go hunt up people that made fun of Billy Graham, because no one cares about them anymore. It's Billy Graham that's lying in state in the Capitol. But in the end, all arguments will be silenced, and they are basically silenced because of who God is. And so what you know is enough to get you through of God. What you know of God is enough to get you through. So someone can come to you and say, well, la-di-da-di-da, and you're so silly, and make up these silly little stories and silly reasons why you don't believe in God. What do you say in your heart? I hope you say it. I know Him. Your knowledge of God and your knowledge of the Scripture trumps all of that. God is alive. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is alive. Moses is alive. And He will keep them and raise them up in the last day so that they may share the blessedness of a new age. And that is basically the argument of Jesus here. And it doesn't say it in Mark's gospel, but I'll just give you the gist of the other two. And it says, when the crowd heard it, they were astonished at Jesus' teaching. How many hundreds of times have they heard, I am that I am? That text. in Genesis. Maybe it was Exodus, pardon me. But they heard it and they were astonished. And Jesus says in here in Mark, He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And He says, point blank, you are quite deceived. Wrong. You have erred. You have wandered off the path of truth. What a warning. What a warning. Luke says, there were some scribes there, and they were listening to Jesus answer the Sadducees, and they say, Lord, that's a pretty good answer. You have spoken well. Next up, next week, are the scribes. Oh, I just want to say to you before we close, I don't know what bothers you. Some of you may not be bothered by things, but if you are bothered, just think to yourself, Lord, I know who you are. That's enough for me. Okay, let's pray. Father, we know all questions have their answer in your Son, and His grace and His kindness, and that He will raise us all up in the last day, and truth will prevail. And all questioning and the bickering will be gone. We thank you for this. And Father, in our own hearts, if our hearts, even if our own hearts rise up and question, Father, may we still our hearts with what we know of you, of your Son, and of the Spirit in our lives. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus the next time that the questions come, Father. We pray, Lord, help us with this. Pray this in Jesus' name, Lord. As this little fellowship here, Father, help us with this. May we be strong in what we know of you and the simple and great teachings of Scripture. Oh, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.